Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome everyone here to this Mother's Day. I do not have a Mother's Day message. However, I do want to wish all the ladies out here, those who are mothers, those who are spiritual mothers, those who are someday going to be a mother, a very happy and wonderful Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I did call my mom this morning, wished her a happy Mother's Day. We celebrated last night. Marianne wanted all the kids and grandkids over, so we celebrated Mother's Day last night. Had a really good time. So what we're going to do today, we're going to take a little trip, a little self-examination trip. That's the title of my message today, is self-examination. God laid this on my heart a long time ago. Probably a year ago, and I'm just now getting to it. So there's a reason why he has me speak at certain times on certain things, why he delays things. So this message is obviously for all of us, but it's going to be particularly important for someone out there today. I'm not sure who, but we will find out. Self-examination. So we, in the Word, there's a lot of talk about love, God's love, who God is, what love is, and truth. Jesus and God are both referred to many times in truth and in love. So that's what we're going to take a look at today. We're going to look at, we're going to take some scripture. There is so much scripture in the Bible that speaks about love and truth. But this is one I'm not sure I've heard anybody speak on before, at least I don't remember. And we're going to go to 1 John 3, and we're going to do verses 16 through 24, but we're going to start out with verses 16 through 18, and that's 1 John, not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16. And leading up to these verses, John is talking about love, who God is in love. But we're going to start on 16. He says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." Excuse me. "And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." So let's go back up to the beginning of that. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus Christ went to the cross and laid down his life for us. He didn't even know any of us in here, in the sense that he knew his disciples, he walked with them, he spoke with them, he knew the people that he was friends with, but everybody in here, Jesus didn't know anyone in here. Yet he laid down his life for us. And it says, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So I started thinking about this. Well, brothers and sisters, I've got three brothers. I don't have any sisters. Would I lay down my life for my brothers? Well, I think I would. You know, I a couple of them I don't get along with really well, but they're my brothers. Would I not lay down my life for my brothers if I had to? It's something to think about. Ireland. Come here. Come here, baby. Come up here with Papa. Put my hand. So then, family. Would you lay down your life for your family? It's not even a question. I would give my life for my grandkids, for my kids, for my wife. Thank you, baby. You can go sit down. So that's not a question. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, what does he mean there by brothers and sisters? John 13:34 says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Okay? And then Matthew 12:48-50 says, and he replied to him, "Who is my brother, or who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So in John 3:16, when he says, "And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters," he's not talking about our flesh and blood. He's not talking about our grandkids and our kids and our wives and our mother and father. He's talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. See, Jesus laid down his life for all of us. And it says, how do we know what love is? That we would lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. So then I started thinking, okay, would I lay down my life for each and every one of you? Do I have God's love in me that I could lay down my life for each and every one of you? That's a tough question. So I started thinking about Roger back there running sound today. Would I lay down my life for Roger? Well, he's a little bit older than me. He's had a good life. Would it be quick and easy? Or would I have to suffer on the cross like Jesus did? So see, I got a tough decision to make here. It's Roger. I know Roger. He's, like I said, he's had a good life, and he is older. It shouldn't even be a question. It shouldn't even be a question. We are to love like God loves. We are to love like Jesus did when he went to the cross. Jesus didn't want to do that. If you remember, he prayed in the garden. He asked that that cup be taken for him, but the will of God was done, and that's what Jesus wanted. So look around you. No, really, look around you. Would you be willing to give your life for any and everyone in here? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So think about that. Then it goes on to say, now this is a little bit easier. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. John 4:19-21. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. How many times have we read these verses, and how many verses in the Bible tell us the same thing? To love our brothers and sisters the way that God loves us, and to love them the way we love ourselves. So it must be important, if we see this over and over and over again in the Word, are we living our lives in love. Is that how we live every single day? Are we taking care of those who need taking care of in the body? Are we giving of ourselves, our time, our effort, our money, our service, in support of those who are in need? Maybe some of you are. I suspect that most of us are not. That's just my suspicion. I don't have any proof. I haven't been following anybody around. I don't have a way to look at your bank accounts. I don't have time to stalk you. But how are we living our lives? Are we living it in love? See, there's a theme throughout the word, and it's love. In every relationship, in every instant, in how we handle things at work, in how we handle things at home as mothers and fathers. Love. And what about our material possessions? Do we love our material possessions more than we love our brothers and sisters? That's a tough question. Do we love our comfort and our lifestyle, the things that God has blessed us with, more than we love our brothers and sisters? I look at my son as an example. He doesn't make a lot of money. And several years ago, I talked him into buying a home. It's just a small home, but I thought it was more important for him to, if he's going to be paying rent, he might as well be making a mortgage payment. It was about the same thing, same price, same cost. So why not be in this home? So it's a very small, it's less than 700 square feet. It's about a 600 square foot, two bedroom, one bath home in a what we think of as not a great neighborhood. He doesn't have a lot of material possessions. He doesn't have cable TV. He recently got married, but his wife does a lot better. But leading up to that point, he would be what we would consider one of the poor people in town. Okay? Yet, I have seen him take money that he may have got as a gift or extra bonus in a check or something, and give it to his neighbors because they needed it more than him. See, he doesn't have a whole lot. But he's willing to give out of what he's got for those that he sees as having less than him. What an example that is for me. You know, usually dads, we try to be examples for our kids. When your child becomes an example for you, what's that telling you? Well, first of all, maybe I did a really good job raising him. But the thing is, we can learn from everyone. And it tells me where his heart is. It speaks volumes about who he is. And I can give you multiple examples of what he does and how he does it that the world would probably say, why are you doing that? So as Christians, as people who love, who are called to love the way God loves us, are we loving in that same way? If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? See, I'm not asking the question. This is coming from the Word. How can the love of God be in that person? This is directed at me as well. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Actions. We're called to action. We are called to love as we love ourselves. Amen? Amen. So it says in 18, it says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So verse 19 goes on to say, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. This is how we know that we belong to the truth. Okay, now think about this. This is how we know. He's telling us right here. And how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Now I want to back up a second to verse 20. It says, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Now, I had to read this several times, and I had to do a lot of study. It was a little confusing to me to begin with. What's he mean there? If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Well, here's what it means. Who knows your heart the best? Between you and your spouse and your friends and the people you know at work, and who knows your heart? Well, each one of us know our heart. We know what's in our heart. We know what we think. We know what we feel. We know what our motives are. We know why we're here this morning. Some of it may be good. Hopefully it's all good, but there may be somebody here today where their motive for being here is not pure. See, we know that we have confidence before God, or we don't have confidence before God. And if our heart condemns us, okay, now think about this. We know what's in our heart. God knows us even better than we know ourselves. So if our hearts are condemning us, we are condemned by God, because He sees what's in here. He sees every ugly thing that's going on in here. Now, sometimes we condemn ourselves unfairly. Sometimes we have this guilt process that goes on in us, and we think that we haven't been good enough, or we haven't done enough. And so our hearts will condemn us. But that's where we get it wrong. See, we're thinking wrong. We had a study this last week, and I just threw this in at the last minute, because I'm going to try and explain this, because it's so amazing. And I don't have these verses for everybody. I'm just going to read this to you, and this is out of Romans 11:36. And it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. See, in verse 35, it says, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? See, we get mixed up in our salvation. We accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, which is a gift from God. A gift from God. And yet, we condemn ourselves because we haven't been good enough. We haven't been doing the right things. Think about it. It's a gift from God. Our salvation, if you understand that, you can rest in the presence of the Lord. If your heart accepts Christ as your Lord and Savior, no matter what you did this morning, no matter what you did last night or what you did yesterday, if you accept that Christ is your Lord and Savior, you can rest in his presence and your heart should not condemn you. It says, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? Is there anything we can give God? He has everything. He is everything. He created us. And we sometimes think that if we're good, if we be good, then God owes us something because we were good today. How can he owe us something? Just because we're good? See, it's up here. We get in our way, our own way, in our thinking of salvation. The only way you're going to be condemned in the presence of God is if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then your heart will condemn you, and then you will be condemned. If you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Free gift. Christ went to the cross. Remember, he loved us so much that he was tortured, he was beaten, he was hung on the cross for us. He loved us that much. So as long as we just accept that he did it for each and every one of us, in your own heart, you accept that, you will not be condemned in his presence. Isn't that awesome? We just have to believe. We have to accept. And we cannot. People, here's something I want you to understand, because I've fallen to this before. We cannot be good enough to earn our way into heaven. Can't do it. I don't care how good you are. And there's some good people in here. You can't do it. Not going to happen. You can't. If your dad was a good man, doesn't matter. You can't go to heaven on your dad's coattails. You can't hang on to your mom's dress on her way to heaven. Can't do it. You can't hold tight enough. You have to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Plain and simple. No strings attached. The neat thing about that is when you do that, even though there's no strings attached, then you begin to want to live for the Lord. You begin to want to learn more about God. You begin to read his word more. Learn more about how loving he is. And in turn, we become more loving towards others. Takes those rough edges off. He takes us and he begins to mold us and turn us into the person that he wants us to be, that he's called us to be, that we're supposed to be. See, that's the cool thing about it. We do want to be better. We do want to do good, but don't let that be a standard for your acceptance into the kingdom of heaven. See, his salvation alone is good enough. It says, for from him and through him and to him are all things, and to him be the glory forever. I got off a little bit. I'm sorry about that. I wanted to talk about that just a little bit. You know, when it comes to material, I'm going to get back a little bit to taking care of our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, one of my favorite verses, I learned this as a young kid, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's the most important part of those verses right there. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That means that what you value the most, that's where your heart's going to be. And we're talking about a heart condition. We're talking about not being condemned in front of the Lord. So where is your treasure? Where is your heart right now? What is your heart tied to? Is your heart tied to serving God? Or is it tied to the world? Is it tied to material possessions? Is it tied to a job? Is it tied to a person? If someone is pulling you away from God, your heart is tied to the wrong person. I'm sorry. Where's your treasure? Matthew 25, verses 31 through 36. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and this is Jesus speaking. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Do you see how all of these tie into one another? And love, and how we view the world and our possessions, and how we view our brothers and sisters. Now think about it. Jesus said he went and prepared a place for us for eternity. If we're lucky, we get 70, 80 years here on this earth. If we're lucky, if we're blessed. We're talking about eternity. Are you going to trade having a good time in this world? Okay, we can still have a good time as Christians. Anyway, are we going to trade the world and what the world sees and loves and holds on to and reaches for what God has in store for us. I can't. It reminds me of the song, I Can Only Imagine. I can only imagine what it's going to be like. I can. And I will tell you, as someone who's getting into, I'm not Roger's age, but I'm getting up there. It goes by quickly. Okay? It goes by very fast. And what I'm so thankful that I wouldn't trade the world for what Jesus has in store for me in heaven. You know, shortly before my dad passed away, he told me, he said that we were having a talk because I wasn't really sure about his salvation. He's always professed to be a believer, but I wasn't sure. And we had a talk as I was taking him to the hospital for an appointment. And he told me, he goes, you know, I'm perfectly at peace with dying. I think it was Pastor Lee spoke last week about people who were afraid of dying. My dad was, he wasn't afraid. He was perfectly at peace. He says, I know where I'm going. He goes, God even gave me a vision a couple of weeks ago. Perfect for Mother's Day. He said, my mom, I saw my mom in heaven, and she had her arm, her hand out, and she was telling me it was okay. It's okay. And then shortly after my dad died, I had a vision of him in the throne room on his knees, hands in the air, praising God. And it was beautiful. It was incredible. So while I'm not ready to die today, I'm not afraid to die. Why? Because I have an assurance that I'm going to be good in front of God. I'm not going to be condemned. Amen. None of us will be if we believe and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have a great inheritance in heaven. I can't imagine what it's going to be like. I just, it's going to be awesome. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. There it is again, to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. We live in a world where chances are we're not going to be asked to give our life for someone. We live in that world here. But the world is big. And across the world, there are countries where Christians are still being persecuted. And they may be asked to give their life in order to save a loved one. There's a lot of underground churches in the Middle East, in some communist countries, where they may be asked to give their life. Someone may be arrested. And in order to save others in the body, now think about it. Let's say this was an underground church. We're meeting here illegally. And the sin, the price to pay for meeting here, if one of us gets caught, is death from the government. That's the way some people are living their lives today. Now, what if one of you or me was snatched up and questioned? Could you live with your faith and be strong and not give any names up? Or would you give some names up? How strong is your faith? Are you willing to die for your brothers and sisters? Some people have to answer that question even today. Did I do that? Thankfully, we don't have to. John 3:18 says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Again, more verses saying the same thing. Titus 3:3-6. "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." And remember, it's not tied into your good works. You can't earn your way into heaven. It has to be through your belief in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'm gonna wrap this up. I've got a few more things, but I want to talk again about I want to tell a little story about a pastor in Romania. In the 1940s, Romania was initially, during World War II, they became influenced and fell under the German leadership of Nazi Germany, and they fought for the Germans at the beginning of the war. And then halfway through the war, they changed allegiance because the Russians had come in and kind of taken over the country at this time. So then they changed sides, and they fought for the Russians. And then after World War II, they became a communist country, a puppet country under the Russians. And it remained that way up until 1989, when they won their independence. But during that time, Christianity was forbidden in the country of Romania. And there were many undercover, underground Christian churches. And it's just like the scenario I told you all ago. The penalty for this, if you were caught, was death. Well, there was a pastor in 1960, early 1960s, by the name of Florescu. And he was a pastor of an underground church. And he got taken prisoner by the communist government. And he was, for 2 weeks, he was put in a prison. He was beaten. He was tortured. He wasn't allowed to sleep. They would wake him up. If he tried to sleep, they would come in and wake him up. He was in a rat-infested cell. So, much like we hear of Paul's treatment in some of the prisons he was in, Pastor Florescu was in this same situation. But he refused to give up any names. And then they brought his son in, 14-year-old son, and began to beat his son in front of him. And Pastor Florescu said, "Stop. Stop. I'll tell you anything you need to know. Just don't harm my son." His son replied to his father. He said, "Father, don't do me the injustice of having a traitor as a parent. Stand strong. If they kill me, I will die with the word Jesus on my lips." And they did, in fact, kill his son. And Pastor Florescu did not reveal any names in the body. That, my brothers and sisters, is love. Love for the body, love from God, love as God loves us. Amen? Yeah. The praise team, come on up. I love that song. It boils the gospel down to just a few verses, and it's awesome that we can just come and worship and praise and enter in with God and in love, and I really enjoy it. Let's bow our heads and I'll close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for this message today. I thank you, God, that you speak to each and every one of us in a unique way that only you can do. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that your words will go out with power and strength, and that you would strengthen us in the days and weeks to come, and that you would speak directly, Heavenly Father, to those that are wavering, who have not fully committed their life to you, God. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them in a mighty and powerful way, in a way that they can't resist your love, Heavenly Father. And they would choose to serve you from now and forevermore, Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, that you would go with us, that you would bless our weeks, that you would guide us and direct us. And we thank you, Father, for everything, especially for your Son on the cross. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.